Sometimes caregivers are adequate, sometimes they're not adequate. Caregiving. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about this morning in just a moment. By the way, did all of you get the invitation for Friday night? Friday night, we're not having a formal Valentine banquet, but we're getting together as a church family down here at Denny's Restaurant, here at Western and 186. And we talked to the manager in there, arranging some special tables just for us. Now, we're not going to be able to have sermons or songs. It's just a time of fellowship. And so that's guys and gals night out. Plan to come, meet us there about 6:30, and we'll put the waitress to work. I don't know if we're going to get that lady that memorizes everybody's request. Cindy? That's Cindy, is it? You can tell her what you want, four or five or six at the table. She doesn't write it down, but she knows it. It's amazing. I don't know if she's got telepathy or photographic memory or something. So at any rate, let's plan on that for Friday. It's not no formal thing. You don't have to put on your bib and tuck or whatever that means. But just plan to come and just have a good time. And we'll look forward to Friday just as a nice time for a church family. Yes, Judy? Okay, good. So we know we're going to have two there. So, amen. Great. Thank you, Judy. That gentle nudge there. So this will just be a good time. Oftentimes our ladies have a night out once a month, but the guys normally are bypassed, and so this is the time when the ladies and gentlemen are both invited to come. By the way, Tuesday night is our night at Wilmington Rescue Mission, the Beacon Light Rescue Mission. And I'm not quite sure what's going to be happening since Jack was the director, Jack and Judy, if Judy's going to take over the leadership or what. But please be in prayer for Judy. This is obviously a very difficult time. Jack went in for colon cancer surgery and then wound up having other problems as well. And he finally turned real yellow and just passed away this week. So those of you that can come, feel free to come and share with us at the Rescue Mission, Beacon Light Rescue Mission. That's Tuesday night. Caregiving. Our ultimate caregiver is God. Scripture tells us that we are bidden to cast our care upon Him. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him. What kind of cares do we have? Well, sometimes we have physical cares, emotional cares, financial cares, family cares. Sometimes they're cares, sometimes they're fears. And we worry, what would happen if? And you and I are both experts at determining what the future is going to be and its tragic consequences. Fears, cares, hurts, needs. We can cast them all upon the Lord. And the reason, not only does He say, I love you and I care for you, but God knows all things. He knows our fears, our needs, our hurts. His knowledge is perfect. Plus, His ability to meet the need is perfect. I think I'm just a little hot here on this microphone.
That went all the way.
Okay. Okay, let's see if that helps. That's fine. Eunice? Oh, yeah. I guess we're still getting an echo. I saw a couple of you that need some hearing assistance trying to fiddle with it to make sure. we'll try and save you and help others as well. Just a little bit. how are you hearing me, Gail, on the back row? Is it okay? Okay. Good. Thank you, Eunice. Appreciate Eunice's help there in the sound room. The Lord said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In other words, that tells me something. I'm to stop worrying. I'm to trust Him. Now, sometimes God uses each other. He uses you and me to help one another. And that doesn't mean I pray if I have a problem, I pray, God, you solve it, and I don't do anything about it. I think the Lord expects us to be involved. But we're to pray. In fact, Philippians chapter 4, and you're familiar with verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, in other words, even as I pray, I'm to say, God, thank you for how you're going to work it out. And even as we pray for Lynn and the upcoming hip surgery, we pray with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for providing what is needed even ahead of time. And so we pray with thanksgiving, and we bring it to the Lord. And so we don't worry about the problem. We're not supposed to. We pray to God, thanking Him for what He's going to do. Now, He doesn't always do things the way we want Him to. God has, He has to keep everything in balance. You know, I can say, Lord, make me as rich as the Microsoft king. But then, maybe God doesn't want me to be rich. We can pray, dear God, give me a new, and you fill in the blank. But maybe God doesn't want you to have a new thingamajig or whatever it is. But we pray, we trust Him, and we thank Him. He is the ultimate caregiver. But then God often uses other people to help meet our needs. This is where you and I enter the picture of caring for one another. God has allowed each of us to possess certain resources and have certain gifts of ministry. And God uses us not independently, but interdependently. Some people like to live like an orphan Annie or a Lone Ranger, to live by themselves and do all of their own decisions and care for themselves constantly without anybody else being involved. And yet part of the genius of the body of Christ is that God expects us to minister to one another, to use your resources and gifts, and that I use my resources and gifts in order that we can strengthen the body of Christ. We need to do this. Otherwise, what happens if we don't? Well, first of all, my gift goes unused. My resources are partially wasted. And somebody else has to double up and do the job that I ought to be doing. So somebody else gets an overload when I do not do what God has enabled me to do. Or when you've not done what God has enabled you to do. Somebody else has to fill in the blanks. Somebody else has to carry the load that God intended for you or me to carry. Well, the Bible illustrates this with the figure of the body. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you knew that's where we were going anyway. 1 Corinthians 12. And here we have the blessings and responsibilities of being the members of the body of Christ. I'm going to read several verses starting in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 26. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ, so is the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, I'm going to give up and quit, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where was the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. It breaks down into five divisions. Verses 12 through 14 talks about all believers are a part of the body of Christ, the body of Christian believers. All believers are a part. Then verses 15 through 17, it compares the believers to the different parts of the body, whether it's an ear or an eye or a hand or whatever. The third division is verses 19 and 20. And here we note God has placed each believer the way he wants to. Each believer in the place of his appointment. God sovereignly says, you are an eye, or you are an ear, or you are a hand, or whatever it may be. Verses 21 through 24 tell us no member of the body is unnecessary. Everyone is important. Doesn't make any difference of age or whatever the distinction might be. Everyone is important. And then finally, the fifth division here has to do with expected results. What does God want to have happen? Well, you notice that word schism. It's not schism, by the way. It's schism. It rhymes with scissors. And scissors cut things and divide them. The word schism has to do with the division. God doesn't want us to be divided into different cliques. We certainly have friendships of various kinds. We never dare allow ourselves to have an exclusive clique. No schism or division. And the second result that's expected, mutual care. Mutual care. We care for everyone. Mutual care. And then, verse 26 is very interesting. It's the third expected result. This has to do is that we share together in suffering or honor. If one of the members of the church or the body suffers, we need to be compassionate and caring for that one. If somebody gets specially honored, they ought to tell us about it so we can rejoice with them. Well, let's zero in on verse 25. The last part, that the members should have the same care, one for the other. Concern for the welfare of each other. I'll look at three verses that talk about that care, that welfare. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. By the way, the word wealth is in italics. You know what that means, that it was not originally included in the translation, or in the original. And so we are concerned about one another. Not that I get your wealth. That isn't the idea of the verse. The idea is that we care for each other. Let no man seek his own. Don't be selfish. Don't try to live your life separated from the others in the body of Christ. Identify with them, love them, care for them, be concerned. And that's also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 and 33, of spouses for one another. Deals with a little bit of something else in the passage, but let me read this. 1 Corinthians 7:32, I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, that he may please his wife or her husband. And so it's used of the concern of one spouse for another. For the wife of the husband, for the husband of the wife. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul uses that same idea that he is concerned for the welfare of the churches that he ministered to. 2 Corinthians 11:28. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And he knew about their problems. He was involved with the churches. He wrote letters to them. He visited them. He sent messengers to them. He was concerned for the care or for the welfare of the churches. Now, then, I guess this raises a question. Then, as you and I are members of the body of Christ, because we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, how then do we care for each other? You can probably sit down and write a long list of things that you could do. But in our passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it highlights three things. This is not an exhaustive list. It's more suggestive than exhausting. Verse 14. We're back in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. It goes on to describe the various aspects, the foot, the hand, the ear, the eye, so forth. Talks about the idea that we should use our gifts. Some people are very gifted in music. I think of Susan on the organ now. She's on a furlough right now because of her foot. But some say, oh, I wish I had the talent of playing the organ like Judy does. Or like, Judy, what am I saying? Judy might have other talent. I'm not sure she plays the organ. Of Susan. And we can say, man, I wish I had Susan's gift. No, God doesn't want you to have Susan's gift. He's given you a gift of your own. Or I can get jealous. You know, she has all the fun. She gets to sit up there and play that beautiful instrument, make that fantastic music. I'm jealous. There are a variety of responses we can have. And yet, I need to zero in on using whatever resources and gifts and talents God has given to me, and you likewise. And so I can't say, I want to be a... we're not stereotyped. And each one has unique abilities, unique resources for service. We're not to be jealous of one another. We need to care for each other using the gifts that you have, the gifts that I have. You know, some people just simply got that gift of compassion and mercy. They may not have the ability to confront you face to face, but they have that spiritual tenderness in their heart. You know, when you're going through a hard time, that's what you want. Oh, that's not mine. There's an airplane outside making that noise. I thought, oh my, my microphone's acting up. Okay, we need to determine what our gifts are and then use those to minister to one another. Some people have that gift of compassion and mercy. Some people have the gift of being a great teacher. Sometimes teachers that can teach first graders would do a terrible job with adults. And sometimes teachers of adults would definitely strike out with the children. But whatever our gifts are, we need to determine what those are. And then say, Lord, how can I use those to help in the ministry of our church and of other Christian people? How can I use my resources, gifts, talents, and abilities to be a blessing to somebody else? Mutual respect for and appreciation of the ministry of others as well encourages them. And we need to encourage people when they use their gifts. Look at verse 18 in our text here. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. He's the one that decided that you were going to be the teacher or the prayer or the hospitality person or the person with various gifts and abilities. God determined that. And so we're not going to be jealous. In fact, we're going to encourage each other in their carrying out their ministry. But if I leave everything to Don and the whole church has to rest on his shoulders, pretty soon Don is going to collapse. He's going to have burnout. Or if I leave it all with, you know, if any single person has to carry the whole ministry. I was on a jury one time, and one of the jurors brought me a book. The book, I think, was published by Zondervan Publishing House. I don't remember the title, or don't remember the author, but I do remember the title, The Pastor Can't Do It All. And I thought that was an interesting title, because some pastors do try to do it all. Now, there's a point of sharing, so that as we have many members in our bodies. You know, you use your fingers and your eyes and your ears, the five senses and the rest of your body. If all you had were fingers and hands, you'd have to walk on your hand. You'd have to do everything with your hand, and that would be all. Or if everything were the elbow, can you imagine how difficult life would be if
Instead of hands and arms, all you had would be elbows.
Sometimes people try to act as if they are independent when God wants them to be interdependent. Or sometimes we criticize others because they do not have our gifts. Well, why don't you do such and such? And we lay a guilt trip on them. You know, shame on you. And sometimes all of us try that in one way or another. But now, you and I need to appreciate and respect the gifts of each one. And we recognize what our own gifts are, and we recognize and honor the gifts of others. Look in verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. We should be supportive instead of competitive. Once in a while you run across a Christian brother or sister who seems to always want to have their own way and have the last word. If it doesn't meet their approval, it's not right. No, that's not the idea at all that Scripture has. The Scripture has that we encourage one another, that we help each other. We're supportive. We're not in teams fighting one another, trying to win. That isn't the issue. The issue is that we are together, a team for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody has to be so opinionated that their opinion has to always carry the day. We know that person is out of the will of God. You and I share together in ministering. We share together, each one doing what we can. Some people got a good nose. And I'm not saying that in jest, because you know how to smell things that you put together and you cook and you bake, and you know, aha, that smells just right. Others of us may have a little bit of a problem. Some of you have good hearing, and your hearing is so beneficial for you in so many ways. Physically, God has given us our bodies purposefully with all of the different parts of your body, and every part is purposeful. Spiritually, God has every part purposeful. Every one of you in this audience are important to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are crucial. If you fail to do what God has equipped you to do, you're handicapping the ministry of the body of Christ. Now, do you have to be voted into a position in order to do your ministry? Oh, no. No, many people have ministries that are behind-the-scenes ministries. I remember one of the ladies that used to attend our church became laid up, and she couldn't get out. And she would say, Pastor, call me, tell me what to pray for, and I'll be a prayer warrior for the church. Now, did we put in the bulletin, Mrs. So-and-so is a prayer warrior? No, that isn't what she wanted. She wanted to carry out her ministry as God had equipped her to do. So each of us have a task to perform according to how God has equipped us. I'm reminded that in our church covenant, we have six things that the church covenant suggests. There's a whole section having to do how we can care for each other. And there's six things that I thought were very interesting. They're biblical, of course. And I'm quoting, we further engage, we make a promise to one another, to walk together in Christian love and watchfulness. Walk together in Christian love. Isn't that the second commandment? Jesus said, all the law is summed up in the two things. Number one, love God. And then two, love your neighbor. So we're to walk together in love, caring, loving, with spiritual affection.
were to walk together in love and watchfulness, alertness. In other words, helping one another, being alert to others' needs the best we know. Now, sometimes people are upset because we do not respond to their hurts, and we don't even know about them. So we consider it an obligation that when you're going through hurts or a crisis, let somebody know so that we can pray for you, so that we can identify with you, so that we can perhaps provide your needs the best we know how. The second thing, we engage or promise to give and receive admonition with meekness and affection. If somebody needs to be verbally disciplined, we're to do it with meekness rather than arrogance. We're to do it with love and concern rather than being in their face. We're to do so caringly, with meekness. Why? Because we're to consider lest we also would be tempted. And then if we come across very arrogantly or very pushy, they're only going to wait for an opportunity to see us have a problem, and then they're going to jump all over us. So even when we have to go through that experience of verbal discipline, it needs to be done with graciousness. What'd you do that for? Oh, no. Oh, no. We're to be gracious and caring in what we do and what we say. There's a third thing that our covenant points out, that we should remember each other in prayer. I don't know if you have a list of the church members, the folks that are here. It might be a good idea to just write those names down and pray for each one at least once a week. To pray for each other. In fact, that's what we pledge. When we became a member here at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, I pledged that I'll do this. That's what a covenant is. It's a promise that we make one with the other. Pray one for another. Number four, we engage, or we promise to aid each other in sickness and distress. Aid each other in sickness and distress. Now, not all distress is sickness. There's other things that can come upon us that just tie us in knots. I don't know, have you had that butterfly feeling in your stomach sometimes? Wonder, man, how am I going to get through this? I'm about to collapse. I'm about to cave in. We need to help to aid each other in sickness and distress. Number five, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech. Christian sympathy. We begin to identify with people when they're going through it. Now, you may go through some things I've never experienced, but nevertheless, I'm to be sympathetic with you rather than critical. I'm to identify, I'm to be compassionate, concerned, caring. Then number six has to do with our emotions. To be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. To be slow to take offense. Sometimes people carry their feelings around on their shoulders. It's like a chip, knock it off, and they're just waiting to find something to complain about. They're waiting to find something to get angry about. They're waiting for something to get all stirred up about. Oh, don't be that way. We are to be slow to take offense and always ready for reconciliation. Two things about that. Number one, when someone has offended you, you have an immediate responsibility to forgive them, regardless of what it is. Now, reconciliation, however, does not take place until they are willing to admit their fault. There is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness should be immediate. In other words, let loose of it. Let loose of it. Someone has wronged you or wronged a loved one. Now, you can go about carrying it, emotionally bearing it, and pretty soon you're going to wind up with ulcers or a stroke or a heart attack. Let loose of that. Doesn't mean you stop praying. Keep on praying. But forgive. But now, you cannot be reconciled until there is an admission of guilt or wrong. Reconciliation is different than forgiveness. When you and I come to Jesus Christ and we say, I know I'm a sinner, I know Jesus Christ died for my sin, he was buried, he rose again, and I'm accepting him into my life as my Savior. At that point, God immediately forgives us, and there is reconciliation. Now, why? Why is there reconciliation? Because I have admitted my fault. Then I can be reconciled to God. And so right then and there is forgiveness and reconciliation. Members in the body, we're to care for each other with that very special care that comes from the Lord. Now, I guess my question for you today is, how are you caring? What is your strategy for caring in the body of Christ? What has God given to you in the way of resources? What are your gifts? What are your abilities and talents? How can this contribute to the wholeness of this fellowship? And only you can determine what it is that you are gifted with and how you will use it. But the purpose here of God putting all these different ministries in our midst is that God says, I've got a whole lot of things I want to do to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, and I want you to be a part. And you say, Lord, here I am. I've determined what my resources are, and I'm determined I will use them to be a blessing. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done for us, for your giving to us the possessions that we have, whether they are spiritual or physical or mental or emotional or financial. Father, thank you for how you've invested your life in us. And now help us, Lord, that we might invest our lives in one another, not capitalizing on our independence, but rather mutually being interdependent. Use us, Father, to be a blessing to one another. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.